2, the heavy hitters coming at you from the Frank and Helen Pizzeria Studios right here on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com. Matt Berger, Patrick Blair, and Dan Buffa behind the microphones. John Giamatti Rudolph behind the dials. The Bellman Automotive phone line is available at 855-282-8255 and the text line as well, 855-282-8255. We had the TV on in the studio here. We're watching the Thunder and the Warriors, and we saw a trailer for The Fate of the Furious, and Patrick said that he would rather feed the children than go see that movie, and I said I would rather see Mike and Dave need wedding dates again than go see The Fate of the Furious, or The Fate and the Furious.
They're well-done action movies. Guilty pleasures, my friends.
You don't feel as guilty about all the starving children around the world? You'd rather give 10.52?
I think there's a lot of bad movies that are made that aren't as entertaining as that one.
Mike and Dave need wedding dates. That was pretty bad.
Their job is not that. Their job is to be action heroes. These guys are essentially like the Arnold and the Sly of the today. Like, The Rock has never acted a day in his life, and he's the highest paid guy in Hollywood. And I think that they're entertaining. I think they've re-upped. Now, part two is terrible. Don't just skip part two. Part three is bad as well.
How many of those are they
Are
make?
We talking about the Fast and the Furious
yeah.
movies?
Yeah, because the first one was very good, but then Diesel left and tried to make his Pitch Black trilogy, which was very bad. And then he came back in 4, but it really got great was when they brought The Rock, because then you brought somebody that could hold his own with Diesel, and then Statham came aboard, and they just get better and better.
Vin Diesel wears sunglasses inside. I'm not a huge fan.
is this number 8 for them?
It's number 8.
Ooh. Wow.
7 too many.
No. You got to watch them, man, before you knock them.
Well, 7 out of 8, that's how many games the St. Louis Blues have won. Thank you very much.
That's good stuff, man.
Taking on the Avalanche, Stan Kroenke's Avalanche in Colorado tomorrow evening.
Yes.
Which should hopefully be another gimme game for the Note coming off Saturday's win against the Coyote of Phoenix, or Arizona, the Arizona Coyotes.
Yes, they beat him 3-0. And now the Blues have taken ownership of third place in the Central Division. And they have the same amount of points, but this is where NHL fans remember the stat row. And essentially that means their regulation and their overtime wins. You take away their shootout wins. That's what will be a tiebreaker. So if the Blues and the Nashville Predators end up with the same amount of points, it's whoever has the higher row. And the Blues have, I think, at least by 4. They have their row is 38, so they are now in ownership. After a month ago, everybody, you know, when Chet and Kirk got
traded
away. Would
you say even a month ago? It was like a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it was a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and now they're back in ownership of third place in the Central. And they have, after they face the Flames, after they face the Vancouver Canucks, they finish up March with more Stan Kroenke's team and more Coyotes. So the Blues can only trip over themselves at this point.
Problem is, Nashville's playing Arizona tonight.
Mm.
So
we may be flip-flopping here shortly.
We could be flip-flopping.
But they're right there. They're right there. Of course, the Blues, we face Avalanche tomorrow. We'll flip-flop right again. But at this point, I mean, the Blues really have to just, punch a hole in their boat.
And I agree with you. The Los Angeles Kings right now sitting at 75 points. So they've got a tough road to hoe if they want to get into the playoffs. Right now, it's looking really good for the Blues. Like you said, after a while,
the Blues made 0 moves. I mean, they potentially got rid of somebody.
Yeah, they traded.
And the Kings go out and get Ben Bishop. They got
Aginla,
who was basically put out on the street like I put out my recycling. And the Kings picked him up. But the Blues have made this big push because I think they're getting. And really, if you look at it, the goaltending. I mean,
it's been phenomenal.
I'm not going to say the
fifth
only
shutout
thing,
since February 2nd.
But it's just they're just playing. I mean, he has flipped a coin ever since. Corsi, the goaltending coach, was fired, and Brodeur and Ty Conklin took over. It's just it's done wonders for this team because for a while there, and really the foundation of this team over the last few years is great goaltending. I mean, Elliott last year, whether it's a combo of Halak and Elliott back in the day, Miller wasn't a bad pickup, but for the most part, this team thrives off team defense, timely goal scoring, and very good goaltending, but it's been the goaltending that's really pushed it.
And you took the words right out of my mouth. I said, much like last year, the Blues are being carried by their goalie. Last year it was Brian Elliott. This year,
check out Elliott right now for the Flames.
Brian Elliott right now was really
freakish.
Playing well for Calgary. Back in January, if you told me that this day was going to happen and that it was going to be Jake Allen and Net, I was going to say you're out of your mind.
Yeah, because he was literally told to stay home on a road trip and just get his mind right. Work with Marty Brodeur, work at stay at home and practice. And then he, ever since the beginning of February, or AK, since I turned 35, there's a little credit thrown my way. But February 2nd, I want to say, it was one of those games where he came back. And really, you know, he hasn't been perfect, but he's been the Jake Allen that the Blues need.
February 2nd, Mike Yeo's first game as head coach.
There you go. Toronto Maple Leafs, they retired, what, Bobby Plager's number to one. And really, over, I think, in the month of March, they're 7-2.
14-7 since Yeo took over.
There you go, folks. And like I said, I think they play Vancouver this week, and they play the Flames. I want to think those two teams are coming up in the next week or so. But after that, I mean, even April is not even that bad. I mean, granted, I think they face Nashville again. I want to think they face the Hawks, but I'm not sure. I know there's a couple tough games in April, but other than that, I mean, I think 80% of their final schedule is against not just under like average teams, but bad teams.
Nashville has the tougher schedule moving forward.
Oh, there you
go. So that's good news for the Blues. The other important thing is all of their, I'll use air quotes here, their big guns are playing well at the same time, which is something you haven't seen the entire season.
No, not at all. I mean,
haven't seen that the entire season. I mean, Schwartz is playing better. Stastny's playing significantly better than he has been the past few months.
And guess what, Patrick? Yuri the Terror is not playing.
Hey! Looking at the schedule going forward, I would say the most difficult opponent the Blues have is probably a toss-up between Calgary, Nashville. It seems like Winnipeg always seems to give the Blues trouble.
Yeah, they beat him, three or four straight right now?
Yeah. Florida, Carolina, I mean, nothing that you're seeing that's going to be like, wow, yeah, that's going to be the loss.
And they finished the season against Colorado Avalanche, Stan Kroenke's team at home on April 9th. Boys, you have to just go get it. I mean, right now, you have survived a crazy season, up and down, zigzag, you know, just 100% Blues, and now here they are on March 20th, and they have ownership for the moment. I mean, they'll probably lose it by the end of the night, but they're right there for the third spot in the Central. Not just a wild card spot, but the third spot in the Central, which could be a big thing when it comes to matchups.
Outside of missing the playoffs, which is obviously the worst case scenario, but let's say right now, worst case scenario for them going into the playoffs is a second wild card spot. So that means they're going to play either Minnesota or Chicago, more than likely. Who would you rather see in that first round?
Minnesota, because they are tanking.
Yeah, Minnesota is struggling. Devan Dubnyk is not as good of a goaltender as his stats in the first half of the season say. And the Blackhawks are playing as good as they possibly can. And I know the Blues, you know, triumphed over them last year in seven games. But right now, I mean, the Blackhawks have 99 points. They're 1 point away from 100 points. And there's still a little bit of season left. The Minnesota Wild were, the hot stuff back in January. Now it's just they're not fizzling completely. They have 92 points, but if you looked at the Blues record since the beginning of February and the Wilds, the Blues are playing a lot better.
I would say Minnesota, one, because like I said, they're tanking, and two, I would question the mental stability of this Blues team in a first round matchup with the Blackhawks.
You don't think carryover from even though there's a lot of changes from last year's team, you don't think there's going to be any kind of carryover that, hey, we beat them last year when we weren't supposed to, we could do it again?
Chicago has something to prove.
And also, how about Mike Yeo going up against his former team in the first round? I mean, if you got Minnesota, that'd be kind of good. I mean, it was only a couple years ago where the Blues ran up against Yeo and the Wild and got kicked out of the playoffs against Mr. Dubnyk and Mr. Allen faltered. It's crazy that we're bouncing. They're bouncing around from being, they're done. They're done. You want to write them off, and now they're not just in it, but they're actually angling for part of that division lead.
Minnesota has lost 5 in a row and 8 of their last 10.
Man,
that's the team I want to see in the first round.
Yeah, well, a team like that, the Blues can handle them. A team like the Hawks are playing as good as the Blackhawks could possibly play with Joel Quenneville, who's a great coach, great postseason coach. The Blues are going to have to go through them eventually if they get, to the conference finals and even to the Stanley Cup if it gets that long. But, I mean, as far as getting in the first round, you want to maybe take the Minnesota Wild, see if something happens that Hawks team between then and now.
Not only that, but look at the lead Minnesota had on Chicago.
January,
like you said.
It was almost insurmountable.
The Wild, I know Columbus had the winning streak, but I know the Wild over a string of games that was 20 to 25 games, they were just winning and winning. Great goaltending, and now they have just kind of come back down to earth. And the Blues, it really personifying playing good at the right time. That's what the Blues are doing right now.
Steph Curry just punched Russell Westbrook in the face.
Awesome. Let's do it.
52. Got up and kneecapped
it's a very close game. It's only like a 19-point lead. So the
next
Warriors.
Time he goes up for a three, I'm taking his legs out. Sorry.
Not only are the Blues winning, but they're playing entertaining hockey. They've been fun to watch.
For sure.
Been very fun to watch.
Yeah, they're scoring more goals. They're controlling games more. A lot of times, even in January, even December when they were winning, it seems like they were winning on like their coattails, winning barely, you know, maybe using the other team's flaws in order to slip by. Now they're just dominating. They're getting out in front of the other team. They're pushing around. They're pushing teams around. They weren't doing that in the first 3 months. The Blues were easily pushed around. Now they're doing the opposite. They're getting, and as we said, all four lines are contributing, and they've had injuries. I mean, look at the way this team's reacted since Shattenkirk's departure. Since without Fabry, now Laterra's wonderfully sitting down. They're getting a lot of contributions from their young guys. Ivan Barbashev, Sanford scored his first goal last week. I know it was on, not against the Coyotes, but the game before that.
Against Anaheim, yeah.
Against Anaheim, yeah. So there you go. The young guys are contributing, because this team's getting younger and younger every year.
How many games in a row has Laterra been on the bench?
I want to say that for most of that L.A. trip, he missed the last, I want to say three games he sat out now. I don't know that for sure. I'm gonna look at it right now, but I would say Giamatti, to check it out. See when Laterra, I want to say it's been three games, and since Laterra has
I think
has
it's
sat,
been longer than that. I think it's been longer than three games. I want to say it's almost closer to four or five, isn't
yeah,
it?
But, yeah.
Maybe I'm crazy.
Yeah, because the Blues, let's see, that on that trip recently, they beat L.A., they lost to Anaheim. See, I think he went in against L.A., and that would be four games. L.A., Anaheim lost, they beat the Sharks, and they beat Arizona. I want to say that Barbashev went in against the Kings.
The Blues have a slight edge over Minnesota in the regular season series. They're up 3-2.
So pretty even.
Pretty evenly matched. I still think they're the team. They're the team that I want to see.
And like you pointed out, Dan, that Mike Yeo is going to be highly motivated.
Yeah,
to be the team that fired him.
Yeah, I mean that's a team that you know you had success with, your first team you had success with in the league, and then they let you go. Now looking back at it, Berger, I think it was against the Islanders that I'm seeing know the Terra. So perhaps that home game.
It seems like
he's
been on the bench for a long time. So I don't know if Mike Yeo has finally come to his senses and realized that Laterra has been awful out there, or if there's an injury they're not disclosing, or what's going on.
Yeah.
But
the last game he played was at home against the Anaheim Ducks at home at Scott Trade. So that was that's five. Let's see, one that's five games that he's.
Any coincidence that they were playing this well and he's on the bench?
I mean, only a loss against Anaheim, who's a freakishly good team, loaded with great talent on the road.
And that was the second game of a back-to-back.
That was 2-1. Yeah, it was a two close game. The Blues played a great third period.
They had L.A. They were off a day. Then it was Anaheim.
And then it was, so it was the first and then they beat San Jose 4-1. And then they took care of business. And they're going to have to do that against Colorado. You know, Vancouver and Calgary would give them a push, but then you got Arizona, Colorado for the last three games of the month.
Yeah, if you look at their remaining schedule, their toughest opponent's Nashville.
According to NHL.com, the Blues have, of their 11 games remaining, four of those are against what NHL.com considers to be quality teams. Nashville, eight.
Yeah.
Of their remaining 11.
Okay.
Yeah, it's tough.
And if you look at the rest of the West, the Blues have the least, according to them, you know, NHL.com, they have the least amount. Look at Calgary. They have 9 of their last 10. Edmonton, 7 of their last 11. So the Blues, like you said, are the only team right now that can stop the Blues. It looks like are the Blues.
I mean, they're pretty much riding ahead. I mean, it could switch tonight, tomorrow, but as long as they do their job, they can not only get a wild card spot, but they can align themselves for the third spot in that Central Division.
Not inconceivable, unlikely, but not inconceivable that they could run down Minnesota too.
They could. I mean, Minnesota has stalled. I mean, the Blues, what do we have? 81? What do the Blues have? 81 points right
81,
now?
81. Yeah.
81. Minnesota's they have 92. I mean, 11 points. They have, 10, 11 games left? I mean, you know, 8 against teams that you should beat. So I think the Blues, especially again, the way they finished, the way this schedule has made up, the Blues have gotten through the gauntlet of difficulty when it comes to who they face. Now, I mean, even the Flames and the Canucks are not like, you know, they're not mountains. You went into San Jose and beat a very good team. So nobody really should stand out against you. And against the Nashville Predators and Flames, you should be highly motivated to beat those teams.
The Kings trail by 6 points, 75 points. And they, again, eight of their last 11 are against quality teams.
So no games in hand. The same. Everybody played the same amount, the Kings and the... Yeah, so
we
there
got
you go.
Russell Westbrook and Steph Curry playing the feud right
yes,
now.
Yes, yes, bring it on. Let's separate them. Let them both go center court and just give them a couple crowbars.
Who are you taking in that fight? Like, I mean,
Westbrook.
Excuse me? In a fight?
Please. Westbrook.
I just want to see a look on Patrick's face while he asks the question. I just wanted to see the look
in
on his face.
In a fight or in one-on-one in a basketball contest?
Joe, okay, if you have Westbrook and Steph Curry in a street fight, who you got?
Westbrook. Yeah. Westbrook with his hand.
See how long that took him? Westbrook.
Is anybody saying Steph Curry outside of the Curry family?
You can tie. Even Steph Curry's mom would say Westbrook.
Have you seen Steph Curry's mom?
I have not. That's her baby, man.
She's pretty hot. She's kind of got a Halle Berry thing going on.
I think his mom would probably fight Russell instead of Steph.
Yeah, you're probably right.
probably beat him up.
Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, I want to talk about what's going on with Colin Kaepernick in the NFL. Is he being blackballed?
According to Spike Lee, yes.
Spike Lee, if you want your NFL inside information, you go to Spike Lee. You're listening to the Heavy Hitters, and we are live from the Frank and Helen's Pizzeria Studios, right here in the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSCL.com.
Introducing Phantom of the Dark, walk through my heaven with levitation from reefers, drenching deep as an E7, showboating with Rugas, flash vines, Belafonte Digger, landscape for what this worth as we confiscate your figures.
Casanova Brown, levitating, Jiggy and Dashiki's the La Hada car, 54, chasing diamond.